This is Intragalactic Librarian, the adventures of Skylar and Jessica. Part 3, The First Law. I considered the last few days as I loaded up my travel bag with various toiletries and high-energy photon accelerators. After 4 weeks of intensive training, I knew more about rare, paper-based reading materials than I ever believed possible. I also knew how to put 8 ion blasts into an area spanning 4 square centimeters. Even Jessica was impressed. The screen wall of the room at Galplik Luna displayed a view of the main launch facilities. All I knew was that Jessica and I had orders to fly. But to where was still a mystery. Zipping and strapping everything into the bag, I checked my sidearm. It made the Mark 11 I had back at the periphery branch look like a toy. The dark gray Fendler and Rauch TZ-55 weighed 918 grams, and yet could punch a hole through a steel wall on its medium setting. Thumbing the safety, I powered down the core like I'd done so many times last week. A quick spin on my finger, and it seemed to find its own way into my thigh holster. Part of me felt like a gunslinger, while another part of me knew damn well that I didn't even grab that pirate when he tried stealing my branch. I took one last look to make sure I didn't forget anything, and then I headed for the surface where I'd be briefed on what's next. Stepping off the lift, I found Jessica waiting outside the briefing room. Smiling at her, I motioned to set my bag down before suddenly dropping it and flicking my TZ-55 out of its holster and bringing it online with her head. And I found myself staring at the business end of her chest-mounted ion cannon. "How?" I said. I didn't even hear you activate it. Rocking back on her ball drive, her chest once again closed around the weapon with a barely audible click. "Well, I didn't want to be rude, Skylar," Jessica said. "But the librarian before you did any maintenance on me and never requested so much as a can of lubricant. I'm designed for library use. I'm not supposed to be loud and ratcheting. Besides, it's so much easier to get to these things when my arms work properly." Her hip holster snapped open, and I was only able to perceive the slightest movement when she drew her turbo blasters. I thought I was fast, but no way could I compete with digital efficiency, especially when she got 800 shots into an area spanning 1 square centimeter, from a distance of 1.5 kilometers. A quick flip of the sidearms and they disappeared into their holster, which tucked away into her hips. I picked up my bag, gave her a playful punch on her metallic shoulder, and we entered the briefing room. Chauncer stood at the front of the room, talking to a woman with a severe appearance to her. She matched the style, as she too wore an outfit that cost as much as I made in a month. Her skirt and blouse, though, they look like she slept in them. She glanced our way and then motioned me to be seated while Jessica parked alongside my chair. Chauncer pulled a control from his jet and, pressing the button, dimmed the lights and brought up a projection of a blue, ringed planet with smallish land masses upon its face. "Skylar, Jessica," he said, indicating the planet in the image, "have you ever been to Kindarian 3? "No," I said, "never even heard of it." Another button press, and the coordinates appeared on the image, but I still wasn't 100% sure of the location. Given the basic coordinates of my old periphery branch, I knew it wasn't anywhere close to the galactic outskirts. "Kindarian 3 lies near a star cluster only 633 light-years from the galactic core." I turned, looking at the woman who just spoke. She appeared firm at first glance. Her voice betrayed a softness that made me reevaluate her. There was a fatigue in her stance, and even in the dim light, I could see the signs of insomnia tracing her eyes. I realized I might not have been too far when I thought that she slept in that skirt. She stepped forward. "I'm sorry, Skylar. Jessica," she said, turning to each of us. "I'm Cohen Fanshawe, CDD agent abroad. I'm assigned to Kindarian 3 in the Galplik branch located on the larger island near the top right, she said, pointing at the image. Cohen is one of our finest agents in the field, Chancery said. As he looked at her, I saw a glimmer of respect in his eyes, and, perhaps, concern. What's the situation, Agent Fanshawe? Jessica asked, tilting her head. Cohen took a deep breath before continuing. There's been a slew of political infighting on Kindarian 3, and tensions boiled over last week. She walked over to Chauncey, and he handed her the remote. The image shifted to a closer view of the large island she'd pointed to. Without getting too deep into the quagmire that is K-3 government, a faction of anti-intellectuals won seats to stage a hostile takeover of the Senate. They saw the branch as an anti-party symbol and swept in to destroy the place. We had 2 databanks of digital books before we could initiate an uplink, offloading the rest of the digital collection at Galplik satellites or above the ring system. Even with the loss of digital content, surely we have enough copies on other worlds to replace it, I asked her. Yes, but that's not the problem, she said with a tired sigh. This is. The image shifted again, and a large hallway filled the room, expanding from still image to fully three-dimensional. The hallway looked to be hundreds of long, and along each wall were shelves from floor to ceiling, and every single shelf was full of books. Jessica's optics irised out to their white setting, while my brows furrowed. Why do we have, I began to say, so many books? Cohen finished my sentence. Kin-3 functions as a primary repository for that galactic sector. While that's not a fact, it's also not top secret. Of course, the former Planetary Council knew it was there, but they're unaware of its exact location. We got the Galplik staff out before they could arrest and interrogate us, but it's only a matter of time before they find it. It's not hidden in a mountain or anything. It's simply sequestered underground, in a controlled environment facility born of a retired wisdom. Got it, I said. So are we looking at extraction here? Chauncey cleared his throat. Extraction would be impossible, given the volume. Even with the fleet, it'd take weeks to pull the whole collection out. We don't have time, and with the possibility of a civil war, the risk is too great. If there's a bright side to this, there's almost nothing in that collection that's not physically available at another Galplik location. While it's a sector repository, the collection is mostly unremarkable. Chauncey, I said, leaning forward. You're using your bureaucratic speak again. Almost nothing, and it's mostly unremarkable. Cohen sighed and pressed the button to advance the image. I count 5 large bookshelf, quarter size. Their spines wrapped in a beautiful gold leaf, what looked like a leather binding. I didn't recognize the language on the spines, but Jessica audibly gasped, something I didn't know that robots could do. Those are the tales of the Panopian dynasties, Jessica said in a hushed tone. My brain snapped to recognition. But those were lost when Panopia's star went nova. How? My voice troughed. There was one set of copies off-world when that happened. A dignitary visiting the Kindarian system brought them with him as a gift. When Galplik assumed custody of the Kindarian collections, they were made a part of it due to their rarity. The Panopian diplomacy isn't well regarded by the anti-intellectual movement. They saw it as the beginning of the end. They were one of the first contacts with an off-world species. As Cohen walked across the room towards a table stacked with folders and bits, she stumbled, falling forward and letting out a surprised yelp. Chauncey moved with a quickness I did not expect, and caught her before she hit the floor. Jessica and I were out of our chairs and knew her in a second. Chauncey cradled her, moving as he rested on her back in his arms. Tears streamed down her cheeks, and her breathing was heavy. A bright light flickered over her as Jessica's medi-scanner evaluated her. She suffered from exhaustion. I'm also picking up chemical markers indicative of emotional and... Jessica stopped short, and her optics flicked from mine to Chauncey's. Damn it, Cole, drop it. You're killing yourself, and me too, Chauncey said, his voice starting to... I looked up at him. Worry etched every part of his face, and his eyes blinked back tears. Cohen exhaled, and I watched her features shift. Her body became more slender, and she seemed to stretch. Her eyes in size and spread apart as a third, larger one opened between them. Her hair faded away as a bulge formed on each side of her head. All the while, her skin came a lustrous hue of light green. She exhaled, and Chancery stroked the sides of her now hairless head. Her eyes flickered open once again, and while I'd never seen a Panopian before, I knew fatigue when I saw it. Chancery, Jessica said, I don't have Panopian biological information in my database. I just attempted to download and was... Chancery nodded. There are only a few of them left, so we don't have a full spec analysis. He cleared his throat again before looking up at a terminal on the wall. Lunar Info Access Data Panopian Biomed Authorization Epsilon Theta 580 User Code Stardancer. Grant all on Panopian Biomed to present Jessica Unit with RAND Key Set Sec Level 4096 Relay Direct Pub Key Present Jessica Unit. A major chord sounded in the room, indicating that the computer understood the full command. Execute command, Chancery said. Jessica sat motionless for a few seconds and then re-scanned code. My initial scan remained factual. Silicon levels are elevated, and she should get some rest. Fluids would be good, too, along with a complex pseudocarb infusion. Chancery, I said, drawing his attention. How long have you and she... I met him 3 years ago, when he came to Kindarian 3 to run oversight of the branch inventory. He answered, reaching up to touch his face. We had dinner that night, discussed the results, and, well... I fell in love with her, Chancery finished. I knew she was a rare type of woman when I first met her. I didn't know how rare until later that year. Panopian shapeshifters can retain their chosen form for the periods of time. She's been securing the branch on K3, but the bastards damn near grabbed her off the street. If they'd located that branch, that'd have been bad enough, but if they'd known her origins... I sent in an extraction team and pulled her out with the staff. She's not slept for 4 days. Those books are one of the few connections I have to my people and planet. Cohen said, her voice ripping with sadness. Chancery pulled her close. Your mission is simple. Get those volumes and get out. The branch is replaceable. The volumes aren't. She sure as hell isn't either. I nodded. We'll bring him back, boss. Take care of her. And yourself. Jessica grabbed her and headed for the hangar. I guess I shouldn't have been surprised that we weren't building off of my old periphery branch starship. After all, it'd been repaired turned to the periphery a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure who they put out there as a branch manager, but I couldn't help but feel sorry for them. Following the virtual line on the floor to our craft, I must have gasped audibly when it ended and I looked up. It was a Cosmodyne Star Systems J3211. These things were fast, almost embarrassingly so. The glint of the overhead hangar lights flickered off the blue and green colors of Terra and the Galplic logo. I'd been taking the sleek lines of the craft so much that at first I didn't notice the twin ray cannons on each wing. This thing was pretty heavily armed for a mid-sized starcraft. The ramp was down, so Jessica and I boarded, Sagirin locked in the small hall were sitting down behind the controls. I was relieved to see that the ship's controls were standard, with the addition of trigger buttons. Jessica pushed a couple buttons and one of the seats sank into the floor with a click. A metal plate slid over the seat and she rolled into it. Mag plate for the robotic set, she said cheerfully. I watched her work another control, and then her face went blank for a moment, only to return with her trademark sing-song voice. No, literally, Johar Enterprises trademarked that voice. Awesome! I just snagged the ship data from the downlink. I have access to navigational systems, parallax drive, off-ship controls, sensors, and the whole thing! I sat down in the chair next to her and strapped in while I started putting the engines online and prepping the craft for liftoff. That's excellent, Jessica, I said, feeling a bit that I wouldn't have to micromanage the ship and its array of tech. But I do have a couple questions. What's that? First, can you control the weapons systems? Oh yeah, she said, perhaps a little too eagerly. This thing is kitted out, and I can fully operate the targeting and defense systems from the shield up. What's the second question? Don't mind if I drive, do you? I lifted up, and we shot out of the hangar and into space. We spent a few hours in parallax, and I got some rest in the tiny cabin. Jessica woke me up just before we dropped into the Kandar system, a few 100,000 kilometers from K3. Jessica immediately brought the sensors online and scanned the face of the planet we had visual access to. Finding nothing major, we brought ourselves into an orbit so we could get a better reading with the short-range, high-gain scanners. Well, I asked. Well, if there's a war going on down there, it's not planet-wide. Some of the urban centers show signs of damage, but overall, it's not as bad as expected. The area around the branch is untouched, so I figure there's a good chance they've not found it. We dropped out of orbit, and I navigated through the atmosphere to a wooded area off Trestintia, the city with the library. Humans and bots weren't unknown on Kandarian 3, and I wasn't carrying any IDing me as a public librarian. So I tucked my TZ-55 into a concealed holster on my lower back, and we made our way into the city. The city was in shambles, but it was mostly superficial damage. It was quiet now, but Jessica assured me that we were being watched. There were multiple bots at work doing cleanup and repair along with the multiple Kandarians. Other than a couple of side-eyed looks, I didn't notice anyone paying undue attention to us. Terrans and bots weren't uncommon, so at least we didn't stick out. It took the better part of an hour to reach the branch, and we walked straight past for another half hour, while Jessica and I scanned for some of a tail. Finding none, we doubled around to another block and then turned in an alleyway between two ruddy buildings weathered by age. Jessica stepped in front of an unmarked door that looked to lead to a service panel, and with a soft beep, it opened up, landing and a ramp sloping away into darkness. We entered the door and locked it behind us. I pulled a small light from my pocket and we started down the ramp. In a few minutes, we came to a landing and found the next door, which Jessica opened with her contactless access feature. Inside, the air felt dry and crisp and just a little cooler than the air on the ramp. And the smell of books filled the chamber. A large shelf stood alongside the doorway as we entered between them. The door clicked shut and we surveyed the branch. My tiny pocket light illuminated two banks of shelves running down each side of the large chamber. Everything was silent. My breathing was the only thing I could hear. Jessica put a hand on my shoulder and motioned me to put on my earpiece. I kept it off while walking through the city so we didn't call any more attention to ourselves. Hooking it around the back of my ear, I powered it up and sub-vocalized a quick five count to see if Jessica could hear me.
"Loud and clear, Skylar,"
she said over the link. Even though we trained for this, it was still a little strange to hear her voice while she herself remained silent.
"So, where are Tails?"
I asked.
"This place is creepy as hell, so I'm more than happy to grab and go. If it makes you feel any better, my sensors are picking up no signs of life within the room."
I followed her as she rolled down the middle of the chamber. Scanning my light around the room, I could tell the banks of shelves stretched off into the distance for some ways.
"Cohen marked a shelf behind the lead desk located in the middle of the branch. It should be right there."
Jessica put her arm up and pointed. A red dot appeared down the way, and the laser indicator in her finger glowed faintly. The lead desk was Cohen's primary workspace at the branch. I guess it made sense that she'd have the books right there with her. They were on the shelves, exactly where she said. We pulled them and verified their item codes before I wrapped them and gently put them in my sling bag. They were heavy, but I could manage. I took a longing look around the chair.
"Damn it,"
I said, "Jessica.
I hate leaving all of this here." "Me too. I scanned a few dozen volumes as we passed and ran them against the Galplic database just to make sure. All of them came back marked as multiple copies in system. Well, that's the best we can do for now. Hopefully we'll get these back sooner or later."
We turned and headed for the door. Perhaps 30 meters before reaching it, Jessica stopped.
"Skylar,"
she said, her voice a hiss in the darkness.
"What?"
"Right," she shouted. A hail of laser fire tore through the door. Jessica sped left and I right as we landed behind banks of shells on the sides of the branch. The shooting stopped, and four figures entered with hand lights that lit the room far better than mine. One appeared to chuckle as they came in, laser rifles ready. As they moved forward, Jessica and I held out our positions. She and I obscured behind the ends of the shelving.
"Skylar,"
her voice came over the link.
"I found four in the branch and another two outside, all armed with Maslin 57 ionic laser cannons."
It's total with two covering the door. I wasn't happy with the odds, nor was I happy that they found us. One raised his voice and started shouting in a deep, guttural tone of a steel copter. I didn't language, but in a second, Jessica's translation system relayed to my link. "Librarian, we know you're in here. The revolution has eyes everywhere. Come out and make it easy on all of us." Somehow, I didn't think they had our best interests in mind. I pulled my weapon and sub-vocalized over the link.
Jessica, can you see the two near the door? Not both of them. One's inside and the other is off to the side of the door.
Hey, librarian, I'm talking to you. When Colonel Gehagenhanser of the Army of the Revolution orders you to do something, you comply. With a low growl, he fired two rounds into the stacks. Books and shelving shattered from the force of the ionic lasers, and several caught fire and burned on the floor. I already hated this lout, but now he really pissed me off. They started to push forward, training their weapons from side to side, looking down each stack. I pull my TZ-55 and move towards the end of a stack ahead of them and away from the main aisle. Colonel, I thought. This idiot isn't even fanning a gunman. And as they walk past the burning books lying on the floor, the light casts their shadows, giving their position. And I put four blasts straight down where I thought they'd be, firing through the shells. Jessica took advantage of the confusion and flew across the main aisle as fast as her wheel could carry her, which is pretty damn fast. She let off a couple of rounds from her own blasters and another shout of agony echoed through the branch. She joined me at my position. Three down with severe injury, one slight wounded, the two by the door trying to call for backup. They don't know that I started jamming their communications as soon as I detected them. Good job, Jess, I said. So we're looking at three active unless someone runs for help. The sounds of shouting and movement made it clear that these so-called soldiers were determined to stay and fight. One was trying in vain to call for help while the other two were seeing their wounded. A stray bolt went over our position as they fired blindly into the stacks. Light from the fires cast the shadow of a soldier making his way down the aisles up closer to the door. I raised my weapon, but Jessica grabbed my arm. Her subvocal communication played over my link.
Wait. We've already got two fires burning.
She pointed upwards, and I saw smoke gathering at the ceiling and working its way down.
In a few minutes, I'm the only one who will be able to survive in here.
Her voice was grim, and damn it, she's right. Looking back at the shadow, I could see the thug was almost to the end of the shelf. Having no choice but to wait for her to clear it, I kneeled down on the floor and sighted down my weapon. Just before pulling the trigger, a breeze whipped by my ear, and I watched soldier's head snap back before he fell to the ground. In the muted light of the day, I saw a thick book land just behind him. Turning to Jessica, I saw she had another book in her hand and a sly smile on her robotic face. Good lord, I thought. How many emotional states did they give her, and just how fast did she throw that book?
Well,
I said over the link.
That's one way to do it. We're down to two, Skylar.
Hefting the sling bag with the tails a little higher on my shoulder, I listened. The colonel sounded like he was okay as he barked out orders to the soldier lying on the floor down at the row in front of us. Guess he didn't know his lackey was laid out by a book to the head. Jessica, you know where they are on that aisle? Yeah, about three rows up, she answered. You think you could lob a book over that way? I asked, a plan beginning to form. Yeah, easy, but it's not going to knock them out from this angle. Oh, I don't need it to knock them out. I just need a distraction. Jessica nodded, seeing what I had in mind. Moving down the stacks, I put myself at the end of the row. A quick check around the stack, and I saw three bodies on the ground, and one figure crouching, swinging his laser rifle around looking for a target, and yelling into the firelit library. He was decked out in a much better outfit than the other five, so I assumed this was the leader of this little band. I nodded at Jessica, and she activated like a spring. She shot the corner of the book in her hand with her blaster, and lobbed the burning tome over the shelves and right down in front of the armed figure. At the same time, I ran down the stairs between the stacks, and as he jumped away from the sudden appearance of a burning object in his face, I hit him full force across the side of his head with my TZ-55. He yelped, fell sideways, and dropped his rifle. I kicked it aside and trained my blaster on him. Colonel, I said, as Jessica rolled up beside me, her own blasters at the ready. Galplik agent, you're under arrest. His hands held where I could see them, he made pleading noises that Jessica translated as begging for his life. Tell him we're not going to kill him, I said, twisting a dial on my blaster. As soon as she finished translating, I shot her, but with the weapon set to stun. Let's bounce. Chances are his friends will show up sooner or later. Jessica picked up his limp body easily, and we headed for the door. Back up to the street, there wasn't anything giving away the shootout below. I brought up a map of the area from our sensor scan and showed Jessica a vacant lot about half a kilometer over. She connected to the ship's autopilot and directed it to meet us there in 3 minutes. We ducked down a few alleys and made a lot just before the ship roared overhead. Jessica had the ramp dropping before it landed, and I think we were aboard and outbound before it ever touched the ground. We were off-world in seconds as I assumed control and let the throttles full forward. Clearing the planetary ring, we punched in coordinates for Galplik Luna Base and fired up our engines, entering parallax and putting Kandarian 3 light behind us. A few hours later, we entered the landing pattern for Luna and touched down in the Galplik Bay. The Cosmodyne J3211 settled on its landing struts, and Jessica gathered Colonel from the ship's quarters as I grabbed the book bag. The Colonel was mostly awake but groggy, and he almost fell down the ramp off the ship. As we exited, Chauncery and Cohen met us at the ramp. "Chauncery, Agent Cohen," I said, greeting them. I set the bag down on the deck and opened it, showing Cohen the 5 books inside. I stood up and handed it to her. She took it, holding it close to her, and then gave both Jessica and I a big hug, thanking us over and over again. "Chauncery," I said, jerking thumb at our passenger. "This guy says he's a colonel with the Revolutionary Army on Kandarian 3. Don't know how true that is, but I figure someone might want to talk to him." "Well done, you two," he said, almost beaming. As much as he could possibly beam, I suppose. He waved over 2 uniformed guards who escorted the colonel out of the bay. "Look forward to your after-action report, Skylar. Jessica," he said, turning away and following Cohen as she walked away, still holding the books like long-lost friends. He stopped and walked back to us, standing close enough so only we could hear his voice. Normally, I can't express myself properly in matters like this, because of the regulations and the policies of Galplik and all of that. But thank you. You didn't just save an important part of her culture. The important part of her, too. He smiled, and I was taken aback by it because, for the first time, he looked human and not bureaucratic. It was a nice change. He turned and caught up with Cohen, and they disappeared through a door leading into the offices of Galplik. I turned to Jessica. "Well, sounds a little downtime is in order." She nodded, and as we walked towards the lift, she turned to me. "Well, that's the first time anyone has ever hugged me. Inoid, so I guess people did the metallic body as something snuggly. It felt really lovely." As the elevator door closed behind us, I put my arm around her and pulled her to me, hugging her as a smile spread across both of our faces.